Welcome to iRun Radio. Coming up, a legendary figure in running is ready to retire.
The most important word is running community. It's the community that makes it. These people, I just, for years and years and years, I just tried to convince people they could be a runner and get them out there running and try to give them the tools to start running. And then I always said all I had to do is get them to that first race or that first group run, whether it's at a running store or a running club or whatever it is, and then the running community takes over and I can just step away because now they're hooked.
Running and traveling with 10 friends.
So we call ourselves the Sweaty Sisters. It's cross-country skiing, it's snowshoeing, it's bicycling, it's running, it's trail running, it's Pilates, it's spinning, and traveling and socializing, and it's also just a great time to laugh and feel like you're away from real life.
And beating the odds after a devastating cancer diagnosis.
Every single day that I wake up, I look at it like it's a gift. It's one thing that being diagnosed with cancer does for you is it really makes you feel a lot more grateful for everything that you have. I don't take anything for granted. I don't waste time. I really just spend all of my time doing the things that I really love doing and with the people that I really love to spend time with.
All of that and more coming up on iRun Radio. We're joined now by the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Hey there.
And I know this was a special week for you because we've been working on this issue. We're going to talk about it more on next week's show, but you've been working on this issue. Running is for everybody, and you did the photo shoot for the cover of the magazine.
Yeah, it was really, really something special. You know, the way that the people were all encouraging each other in front of the camera and high-fiving and tweeting and just one woman, you know, it was a big stretch goal to sort of appear on the cover in her running bra. But it was important to her to do that because she said, you know, if I had seen anybody who looked like me, I would have started this sport so much earlier, and I'm getting so much from it that I want to do this so other people can get there and know that they're not alone.
Yeah, and that is such an important thing because, look, we have Bart Yasso from Runner's World on the show this week, and Bart is a terrific guy, and there's a great team at Runner's World, and they do some amazing things, but a lot of the fitness magazines really put an emphasis on putting skinny people on the cover of their magazines and talking about losing weight and establishing that as a priority and really putting people on the cover who really look like elite athletes, not like ordinary runners. And since day one, almost 10 years ago now, since we started publishing iRun, we have always committed to putting ordinary runners on the cover and sharing the experience of the ordinary runner. And I think that's still very, very important.
Yeah, and what's more, and what I love is Sasha Golish, she was just named the Cross Country Runner of the Year. And she wrote a thing about body image, which started it. So we had Sasha on the cover today, and along with her, we had Lainey Marchant on the cover today, too, with these other people. And both of them say, like, look, we feel it, too. You know, there's times when they're not, you know, when they're not at their fitness or when they just feel like, look, I don't look like a typical runner. They also feel that way. Or this woman is younger than I am and fitter than I am and has longer legs. So everybody suffers from that. So when we can sort of break it down and bring it out in the open and let people know they're not alone, I feel like we're really doing, what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, doing some good work. And I'm looking forward to the next issue of the magazine and to next week's edition of the show. This is going to be a great show, too, though. As I mentioned, Bart Yasso, the chief running officer of Runner's World, who's retiring at the end of the year. Tracy Clark, who is a runner from here in Ottawa, also the CEO of Bridgehead Coffee. And she and her running pals travel the world and do different events. We're going to hear about their latest adventure coming up. And as well, Cindy Hooper, who is an incredibly inspiring woman who almost 5 years ago now received the most devastating cancer diagnosis you can get, pancreatic cancer. Probably the most deadly form of cancer, the lowest survival rate. Well, here she is, and it's 5 years later almost, and she recently had a medical checkup, and it was very positive, and she seems to be making it further than most people do after this terrible diagnosis. Yeah. And she's still running and doing triathlons and raising money for cancer research. An incredible woman. She's going to be joining us on the show a little bit later. So I'm very much looking forward to that. Your running is going well, Ben?
Yeah, everything is great. I just came back from the Las Vegas half marathon not too long ago. And, you know, you talk about running is for everybody. That brings a wide assortment of people. You see all shapes, sizes, colors, and different places, and everybody is doing it together. And I came in 141st, 20,000. So I'm clinging to that. Yeah,
that's very
after
nice.
A couple of days in Vegas, that's not too shabby. You
well
know?
Done. Good for you.
All right. A little bit of a humble brag, if you don't mind.
Not at all. And I know you went there because you wanted to be connected to Vegas again. You've been there a few times after what had happened there in October. So good for you for doing that. Yep. And
hey,
showing
the Mandalay Bay, talk about Vegas strong. The Mandalay Bay was open the next day.
Yeah.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Yeah.
Vegas strong. Yeah. So everything is great. I'm on a big runner's high.
Okay. Good stuff. We'll talk to you next week, Ben.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
That's Ben Kaplan, iRun's editor and general manager. Don't forget, iRun Radio is live every Sunday morning on 1310 News in Ottawa. And you can listen to the podcast and check out past editions of the show at iRun.ca. Just click on radio. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Bart Yasso, the legendary chief running officer from Runner's World, who's retiring at the end of this year. We'll be right back. Registration is now open for the Tamarack Ottawa Race Weekend. It's Canada's biggest marathon weekend, May 26th and 27th, with a kids race, a 2K, 5K, 10K, half marathon, and the Lumberjack Challenge. Four races covering a distance of 59.2K. It's the event of the year, and we'd love to see you there. Welcome back to iRun Radio. Our first guest this week is a legendary figure in our sport. Bart Yasso is the chief running officer of Runner's World magazine. Every year, he travels all over North America to be at running events and meet runners. In just a few weeks, Bart will be retiring after an incredible career. Bart, it is great to talk to you again. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Mark. I really appreciate you having me on.
So December 31st is the official day.
Yeah, my last day at Runner's World is officially December 31st.
And how do you feel about that? Because you've been doing this a long time, and obviously I'm sure there are things about retirement you're looking forward to, but there probably are some things you're going to miss about what you do.
Oh, no, that's for sure, Mark. Yeah, great apprehension. There's no doubt about it. You know, what is on the horizon? But, you know, after 30 years of traveling, you know, I announced my retirement a while ago. I told everyone at work that I really need to step away. And 30 years on the road is more than anyone should do. But
yeah,
it's been a fun ride. You know, I loved every day I worked at Runner's World and still love it even in these last closing days that I'm there. But, yeah, it'll be a big change. You know, I plan to stay connected to the running community somehow, some way, through social media or whatever I decide to do, but it will not be at the scale that I've done it, you know, for the past 30 years, traveling the globe, going to events, and, you know, like I say, it's been fun, but I will miss the people, I can tell you that. I won't miss being stuck in airports and, you know, spending 100-plus nights a year in hotel rooms. But I will miss meeting all the people and, you know, being involved in these, connecting these inspiring stories, which, you know, you live through iRun Radio, so you know what I'm talking about. There's amazing people gravitate to our sport, and then they use running to go out and express themselves, and we're the lucky ones to get to experience this stuff.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. And just describe what it is that you do and how much you are doing in the course of a year, what your travel schedule has been like, how many events you go to. Just give our listeners a sense of what that involves.
Sure, Mark. Yeah, you know, my job changed over the 30 years at Runner's World. Initially, I was working with all the event directors around the country and promoting our magazine through events, sometimes live at the events, and, you know, other programs that we designed to help out events, and they would help out Runner's World. And then, you know, as it morphed into me more spending time on the road and connecting with our readers and consumers, you know, in person. So that's when I really started traveling the globe. And, you know, we have 19 international editions at Runner's World, so we are really a global product. And, you know, just going to events literally everywhere and trying to come back with some of the greatest stories that are out there and, you know, connecting them, whether it's in our magazine, on our website, or these days, you know, Story Manned up on social media. But, yeah, to do that, you know, I always say that the stories don't walk in the Runner's World door. We have to go out and find them.
Sure.
And, you know, it's amazing to me, some people, you know, when I hear their journey and their story, they don't think it's a story, or that their life isn't worth a story, and they are so worth a story. You just never know. But I just, you know, I encountered some amazing, amazing people. And I wouldn't, if I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change a thing. The way it all just worked out, it's just been a joy. But
so
there's someone out there a lot younger than I am that can fill these shoes and really go out there. And, you know, I was young when I started it and had all the ambition and willing to travel nonstop. And I'm just not, I just can't handle the rigors anymore.
Sure. And how many events do you
can retire?
Yeah, how many events do you go to in a typical year?
It's usually like 45 weekends out of the
wow.
of the year I'm at an event somewhere. So yeah, that leaves very few weekends at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get you know, but I loved it because, you know, it was just I could do it. I liked doing it, and you know, but it comes a time where it's overwhelming, you know, and I just can't, like I said, I just can't keep up with the travel schedule. International travel it's getting tougher to do with all the changes and security going, you know, all the stuff going
yeah.
on. It's just getting harder and harder.
I'm sure if there was
older.
I'm sure if there was a device that could just, you know, transport you instantly from your home to the expo at the Chicago Marathon or the expo at the Boston Marathon, and you could meet all the runners and hang out with them and then just be transported back. I'm sure you would love to have that, and you could probably keep going, but it's the travel that really wears you down over time, isn't it?
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, if I could be transported and not have to do all the airport delays and all the stuff that goes on, yeah, I would think I could keep going for a little bit longer. But I've also had a lot of health problems with Lyme disease, which doesn't make things any easier. So it just seemed like the way things lined up is really a time to step away. And, you know, I know someone young and ambitious is going to just jump at this opportunity. And I support that and encourage that. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the stories of runners, and you and I have talked before, and you've said it so well about how everybody travels the same path from the start line to the finish line, but everyone has a different path to get them to the start line. And one of the things
right.
that I've found with, you know, talking to so many runners over my career is you never get tired of those stories. You'd think after a while they would get repetitive or monotonous or something like that,
yeah.
but they don't. I never get tired of hearing from runners that I've never met before about why they got into the sport and what they've done and how they've overcome personal obstacles and what they've accomplished.
Yeah, I'm like you, Mark. I'm the same way. You know, I hear these stories and I just can't believe the enormity of what these people faced, and somehow they use running to get through whatever this, you know, problem they faced. And then it's an end, you know, the stories are just endless of problems people have. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, and then there's the great runners that we encounter too. You know, there's all kinds of stories. There's the, you know, the greatest runners in the world trying to set these records, and then, you know, people just trying to get to the finish line, overcoming incredible obstacles. And, you know, it's a more powerful sport than most people think. People on the outside don't know.
Yeah.
But when you're entrenched in it like we are, we actually feel the power and see the power and see the transformation in a lot of people. And, you know, I, I'll, I'll say it to the end. The two most important words are running community. It's the community that makes it. You know, these people, I just, for years and years and years, I just tried to convince people they could be a runner and get them out there running and try to give them the tools to start running. And then I, you know, I always said all I have to do is get them to that first race or that first group run, whether it's at a running store or a running club or whatever it is. And then the running community takes over and I can just step away because now they're hooked.
Yeah.
Because this is something they don't know when you're on the outside. You don't know the power of the running community, the camaraderie, the support system that's out there, that people are really willing to help total strangers to become better runners. And, you know, it's pretty inspiring to be part of it.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I love about it, too, that sense of community, that support that's there. And you realize at a certain point that apart from the runners at the very front of the pack who are competing for prize money and to finish first, everybody else in the race can accomplish their goals on the same day. They can support each other. They can help each other, encourage each other. And you can do a personal best, and I can do the time that I was hoping to get, and someone else can run the first marathon that they wanted to run on that particular day. Everybody can accomplish what they set out to do at the same time. It's not a zero-sum game.
Yeah, I totally agree, Mark. And that's the beauty of running versus a lot of other sports. Other sports, it just doesn't lend itself to what we have, which is a big advantage in our sport, what keeps people going all these years. And, you know, I've been doing it 40 plus years, and I, you know, I'm not going to retire from running. I hope to keep running for a lot more, many more years.
Will you have more time to run now?
Well, I think so. If I can get a little healthier, I will have more time to run, and I can see, you know, maybe a benefit to my health that I'm not traveling as much, and I can get out there and run a little more. So,
yeah,
that's the plan. We'll see what happens. But I'm still going to go to a few events a year that I have real strong connections with and personal friends of mine. And so, you know, I'm going to do a little bit, but you know, nothing like I've done for the past 30 years.
Yeah. So which events are you still going to be connected to?
Right now I'm going to go to a couple in the spring, like Little Rock Marathon in Little Rock, Arkansas, the Shamrock Marathon down in Virginia Beach. You know, I've been to those events so many times. The Gasparilla runs down in Tampa, Florida. And I think there's one other one in the first part of the year I'm going to go to, Oklahoma City Marathon, but those are the only four I have in like a 6 month span. So I got it pretty good.
Yeah, that's a big change.
You know, when I go to some of these races, it'll be like, you know, only doing four or five trips in a half, you know, in the first half of the year compared to, you know, normally I'd be up to 20 some. So
yeah,
it'll be a big difference.
Now, what about Boston? Because haven't you been at the Boston Marathon 30 or 40 years in a row now?
Yeah, 35 years in a row I've been there. Yeah, in the old days I ran it. And then, you know, I first ran it in 82. I remember I qualified at Philly Marathon in 81 and then ran it in 1982 and then ran it the next bunch of years. And then I got my job at Runner's World and then stopped running it and I would just be up there working. But yeah, 35 years in a row going to the Boston Marathon, and 35 years in a row going to New York City Marathon.
Yeah.
Also, so yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with those. I don't know if I'll end up in Boston or not. I'm not registered to run it, so you know, as far as I know, I don't have a reason to go. But if you know, if some program comes up or somebody wants me there, you know, I may end up there because it certainly would be nice to go. But it's not on my calendar to go at this point, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens is probably going to be your new motto in life starting in January because you'll have lots more free time and lots more road in front of you to decide what you want to do. Bart, it has been such a pleasure to talk to you on a regular basis, and you've always been available to us, and I'm very grateful for that. You deserve some rest and relaxation after a tremendous career as an ambassador for our sport. You've inspired so many people. It's great to talk to you again. Thank you so much for joining us today, and the best of luck to you in your retirement.
Oh, thank you so much, Mark. Keep up the good work. You are one of the people in the running community that keeps us all together. So I do appreciate that, and always been a joy to work with you.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's Bart Yasso, who will be retiring as chief running officer for Runner's World magazine in just a few weeks. Coming up next, we're going to tell you about a group of 11 runners that runs and travels together. We'll be right back. iRun Radio is brought to you by New Balance Canada, whose 806 V8, released this fall, is the perfect new road shoe whether your distance is the 5K or the marathon. The 806 V8 is fast, light, and comfortable. It's the perfect shoe for helping you reach a new PB. A few weeks back on iRun Radio, we chatted with Kathy Adams, who is an incredible ultra runner, and she's also married to our good friend Ray Zahab, iRun's runner-in-chief. Kathy belongs to a running group of 11 women who train together and travel to events together. They recently did an event in Utah. We're joined by one of the other members, Tracy Clark, who is also the CEO of Bridgehead Coffee here in Ottawa. Tracy, thank you for joining us.
I'm so happy to be here, Mark.
So tell me about this running group that you belong to. We've talked to Kathy before, and I think to some of the others as well at different times, but this seems like a really great group of people, and you guys travel to events sometimes together and do some pretty amazing things.
We sure do. The group kind of started back in 2003 when three of us were training for the Ottawa Marathon. And, you know, it's so great when runners run their long runs together. You get to know people very, very well, and you become like family. You get to know each other's bodily habits. You get to know, you know, when they're hitting the tough part of their run and the right encouraging words to share with them, that kind of thing. It's really very, very special, all the connections that runners have, and this was no different. Over time, more and more people started to join the group, and as our bodies started to age, we started to add in more than running. Of course, there was always the social element, but as time went by, cycling got added and cross-country skiing got added. And at one point, one of the members, Jennifer North, who lives in Seattle now, said, you know, we're kind of like a sweaty sisterhood, and the name stuck. So we call ourselves
like that.
We call ourselves the Sweaty Sisters. And, you know, and as I say, so it's cross-country skiing, it's snowshoeing, it's bicycling, it's running, it's trail running, it's Pilates, it's spinning, and traveling and socializing. And it's also just a great time to laugh and feel like you're away from real life.
Sounds great. And the travel is a big part of it, right? Because you go to different events, sometimes all of you, sometimes some of you, but you pick an event and you look forward to it, you train for it, then you travel there together and participate
yep.
together.
Absolutely. And over time, it's been smaller groups. So an example would be Jen and I did Chicago. Leslie and Cindy have done Boston. Others have, you know, gone to Toronto, Philadelphia, you know, different places, usually for marathons, sometimes for cycling. The gals have been to Palm Springs for kind of cycling, which they really enjoyed. I haven't made that one yet. But the larger group can be as many as 12 people. And this last event, you know, in October, going to Utah for the Grand Circle Trail Fest, we managed to get all 11 of us to commit to this event. And we had rented a house and had a really, really great time. So all we could talk about on the last night was, where are we going to go next? And can we get a big group of us out?
So you want to do it again, maybe somewhere else?
We absolutely do want to do it again. The Grand Circle Trail Fest was pretty challenging. This is where you go to Kanab, Utah, and you spend one day doing about 20 kilometers in the Bryce Canyon. You start at 7,000 feet. It's very up and down, lots of elevation. And if you haven't trained at that level, really tough. And then the next day, you get up and you do another 20 kilometers in Zion National Park. And on the third day, you do 30 kilometers in the Grand Canyon. So it's 70 kilometers over 3 days. And the scenery was absolutely breathtaking, but it was pretty challenging. So the group may not want to do quite that much of a challenge the next time round. So we're looking for what we might do. And one of the things that we're thinking about is a Farm to Fondo bike ride next fall.
Okay. Now tell me more about the Grand Circle Trail Fest in terms of what the experience was like for you running on consecutive days like that and just the whole experience of it.
So this is actually it's trail running, and it's a put on by a group called Vacation Races, and so it's not a timed competitive. It is a timed event, but it's not an ultra competitive event in the same way that marathon running is, and I would say it was more of a lifestyle run for people that might otherwise go for a hike or go for their own trail run. Here you are in a fully supported venue with a lot of other people, and you're being timed, and there's water and food and aid stations. So it's it works that well, but you're not necessarily, you know, running to do a PB. So what that meant was that seemed to be a little bit more of a relaxed atmosphere with a lot of camaraderie amongst the runners. And there were, I think, close to 600 runners all together and at all different, you know, shapes and sizes and speeds. It was very challenging. The elevation starting at 7,000 feet and having to head up to close to 9,000 feet with lots of up and downs at that level. Here we are close to sea level for training. That made it really, really hard. And the first day was just really tough. The second day was a little bit easier. It was a little bit flatter on the Zion side. And you could, you know, again, just tons of camaraderie. And Grand Canyon, the 30K, I'll be honest, I walked most of it. I was so stiff and sore. I still felt like I did a good time in terms of my hustling pace, but I didn't feel I could really pick up my legs. But we had, in our group, we had kind of a Team A and a Team B. Our Team A are our more fit, more competitive, going to push through the pain types, and the type B were the, hey, let's stop and take a few more pictures.
Right. What you describe, this relationship you have with the other people in your group, it really strikes me that it's sort of running at its best and fitness at its best because it's part of your lifestyle and you've incorporated the social element and the travel element and the support and the interaction. And it really, it must help you maintain your fitness level and maintain your interest in staying fit and getting out there on the bike or getting out there for a run. It really makes it work within a busy lifestyle, doesn't it?
It totally does. And Friday mornings is our main event, as a group, and you always feel like you've missed something if you can't kind of join in on the fun Friday morning. And usually Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday in the week, it'll be like one of us will take the lead and say, hey, girls, what about this for Friday morning? And those that can join in, and we always have coffee afterwards, you know, so you kind of get your exercise in, and then there's, a small time together where you're kind of sharing the news of the week or what your weekend is going to be like. And it's very grounding. And over time, the group has gotten a little more sappy and a little more able to acknowledge how important the group is and how important the relationships, of everyone to each other is. I feel incredibly fortunate.
Yeah.
To have this group of buddies, and that we're also positive. Great.
Yeah, it sounds terrific. And now you mentioned you haven't figured out exactly what you're going to do next, but are there any other running events that you aspire to do? You mentioned you've done Chicago, which is a race that I love. Is there anything else?
I love all the neighborhoods there.
Yeah. Is there anything else on your list? for you personally?
I would love to do, I'd love to go to Ireland or Wales and do some trail running there. And I'd love to go to New Zealand and do some trail running there as well. So those are things that are on my list, but haven't quite found the right event yet or how to inspire the gals. We are thinking of doing something in Washington State because one of our gals is from out there. So it remains to be seen. But yeah, my bucket list includes New Zealand and Ireland at
Sounds
the moment.
Sounds great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Tracy, it's great to talk to you again. Thank you for sharing the story of the Sweaty Sisters and the race that you did in Utah, the Grand Circle Trail Fest. Really appreciate you coming on the show today.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mark. Happy running.
That's Tracy Clark. Coming up next on iRun Radio, we'll talk to the inspiring Cindy Hooper, who almost 5 years ago received a devastating cancer diagnosis. We're going to tell you her remarkable story coming up next. Registration is now open for the Tamarack Ottawa Race Weekend. It's Canada's biggest marathon weekend, May 26th and 27th, with a kids race, a 2K, 5K, 10K, half marathon, and the Lumberjack Challenge. Four races covering a distance of 59.2K. It's the event of the year, and we'd love to see you there. Welcome back. Cindy Hooper is a remarkable runner and triathlete and fundraiser who almost 5 years ago was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. It is one of the deadliest forms of cancer, but Cindy is still going strong, still racing marathons and triathlons, and she joins us now on iRun Radio. Hi, Cindy. Thank you for being on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
So I want you to share the news with everyone because I know a lot of people have been following your story. And you did get some fantastic news from your latest test.
Yeah, I went for my six-month checkup CT scans last week, and I was quite nervous about them, as I always am. But we got great news. There's no signs of recurring cancer anywhere in my body, so it's really, really incredible.
That's amazing. And that is really the best possible news that you could get, right?
It is, absolutely.
And can you put it in context? Because we've talked before about how pancreatic cancer is one of the worst diagnoses often, and it's often detected late and too late in many cases. So can you put in context what this means and how unlikely it is?
Yeah. So you're right, Mark. Most people get diagnosed too late and surgery isn't possible. So only about 25% of people diagnosed with pancreatic cancer get surgery to remove the tumor and other organs around it. But the Whipple surgery is the only hope for any type of survival past a year. In terms of overall statistics, 75% of people who get pancreatic cancer die within the first year, and the five-year survival stats are the lowest for all major cancers, and it's not improving, unfortunately. So the five-year survival rate is only 7%. So that means out of 100 people diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, only 7 people live to 5 years. So my five-year mark is coming up in January. January 2018 will be 5 years for me. So when I went for this scan, it's not possible. And, you know, it just seems incredible to be one of the very, very, very small percentage of people that make it through. So getting this clear scan means that I will make it to my five-year mark. And that is just unbelievable and a huge sigh of relief.
That's incredible. So you know now, you haven't actually hit that milestone yet, but since you've been thoroughly tested, you know
yeah.
now that you're in the 7% that make it to 5 years.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow. And take me back to when you got the diagnosis, because those were the odds that you were confronted with at that time, the fact that you might not be alive a year later. If you were the typical pancreatic cancer patient, right?
Yeah. So when I was diagnosed, we didn't know if I was even going to be eligible for surgery or not. So if I hadn't had surgery, those people typically die within 6 months. So I was diagnosed in January. I was registered for Ironman Canada in Whistler, which was in August. And my thought was, oh, my God, I might not even make it to August to travel out to Whistler. You know, I'd never been out there. So that was a big deal for me, just being able to, thinking about making the trip out there. So for about a week, I didn't know if I was going to be eligible for surgery or not. And it was just the most frightening thing I could possibly imagine. Thinking about, wow, what if this is my last, 6 months? But the surgery was successful and the tumor was removed. So I was very, very fortunate.
So why did you keep training? Why did you keep running? Why did you keep doing triathlons, even Ironmans when you could, during the course of your treatment? What was it that made you want to do that?
Well, that was the only thing that made me feel normal and healthy. After surgery, I didn't do anything for a while because it was very, very painful for a long time after my surgery. But even once I started chemotherapy, there's a lot of nausea and, your blood counts are low and you don't have the energy that you do. But I still always felt better being outside than being in the house, sitting or laying on the couch. And so, I'd go outside for walks or I'd go out on my bike. And I wasn't going nearly as fast as I used to, but I still felt a lot better being out on my bike with the wind in my face or swimming in each lake than I did whenever I was just sitting at home. So for me, it was, it made me feel better, and it also gave me a sense of normalcy, to be in the same routine that I was in before I got sick and to be hanging with my husband and my friends, doing something that I love doing. It always just felt really good to be doing that.
Yeah, normalcy, but it's your version of normal. It's not anybody else's version
right.
of normal, I don't
right,
think.
Right,
but
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
For some people, they enjoy, going for walks
sure.
or knitting or cooking, reading, watching TV. And I enjoy doing some of those things as well, but most of my spare time is spent swimming, biking, and running. So for me, that's what I wanted to get back to after my diagnosis and after my surgery. And during chemotherapy and radiation, it just always felt better to be doing that.
And give me just a quick summary of some of the events that you've done in the last almost 5 years now since you got that diagnosis, the running events and the triathlons.
Oh, well, running, I think I've ran all distances in races,
yeah.
5K, 10K, half, and marathon, and I qualified for Boston and went to Boston again, so that was really fun. And in terms of triathlon, again, I think I've done pretty much all the distances, sprint, Olympic, half iron, and Ironman last August. So I'm still able to do all those things. Again, I'm not able to do them at the same level I used to, but I still really enjoy doing them, and I'm still relatively competitive when I race, so I'm still enjoying it a lot.
So you qualified for Boston after you were diagnosed with, had surgery for, and were treated for pancreatic cancer.
Right.
Yeah, that's
right,
pretty
about,
cool.
Uh-huh. So all my treatment ended September 2014, and I ran the Ottawa Marathon in May 2015 and qualified there to go to Boston the following year in April 2016.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be running the Tucson Marathon in 3 weeks and hoping again to qualify for Boston for 2018.
Okay.
That's my goal.
You want to go back?
I want to go back.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And you're going to be running that marathon on your birthday, is that right?
It is. It's my 55th birthday.
So new age group, too.
New age group. I'm going to be the absolute youngest I can be in my new age group. Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's impossible for you to be any younger in an age group than to run it on your birthday. Yeah.
Exactly. I even had to check with the race organizers that they are actually going to put me into my new age group. I don't know what time of day I was born at, and the race is at 7 a.m., so perhaps I won't actually be 55
right.
at that point. But they said, yes, it's your birthday, so that's the new age group.
Right on. So do you look at all of this as a bonus? I mean, because look at that list that you just ran off of all the things you've done since you got this diagnosis when you were staring in the face a very dire prognosis. So how do you look at this?
Every day is a gift. Every single day that I wake up, I look at it like it's a gift. One thing that being diagnosed with cancer does for you is it really makes you feel a lot more grateful for everything that you have. I don't take anything for granted. I don't waste time. I really just spend all of my time doing the things that I really love doing and with the people that I really love to spend time with. For me, life could be very short, and so I don't waste time. And, I see a lot of people complaining about things, worrying about things, stressing about things that really aren't all that important. You know, as long as you have your health and your family is all healthy, there's really not a lot else. I mean, that's everything. Without your health, you don't have anything. So I'm just extremely grateful that I've been able to come through this and enjoy life again.
And I should mention as well, we've talked about it before, but you haven't just run all of these races and done all these triathlons. You've also been fundraising like crazy for cancer research. So that's been a big part of your journey the last few years as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, it feels nice to be able to give back and to raise money for an important cause. And I guess I've developed a little bit of a platform. And so it feels nice to be able to pull people together and raise money for the Ottawa Hospital, all the cancer research that's happening at the Ottawa Hospital. So I think we've raised just a little bit over $250,000. So
that's incredible.
That's really nice. It feels really nice. Yeah.
Well, Cindy, I'm so happy for your news and for this huge milestone that you're about to reach. And it's such an inspiring story. And I know a lot of people who have followed your journey will be very excited to hear about how you're doing. And frankly, I'm just glad that I remember talking to you when you got the diagnosis, not long after you got the diagnosis, and you were still talking about doing races and those kinds of things. And we talked at the time, and I'm glad that now almost 5 years later, I'm still talking to you and you're still, you're still a guest on the show and we still have the chance to talk about this.
I know it's very wonderful. And I appreciate you giving me this opportunity to share the news, Mark. It's very wonderful to be able to do this, so thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, and good luck in the marathon.
Thank you so much.
That is Cindy Hooper, who is approaching the crucial 5-year anniversary of her cancer diagnosis. Coming up on next week's edition of iRun Radio, we're going to talk more about the special issue of iRun coming up, about how everybody can be a runner. I hope you can join us then. Thank you for listening. Have a great week.